Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
This is Tony Coppell and Lorianne, you will meet a little later. This is the 100th edition of the Worcester Reports here on CWCP Radio. That's the good news. Sadly, it's also the last edition. So allow us to have a bit of a celebration and do enjoy the program. About 20 years ago, I wrote a series of articles for the local Kannada Courier Standard newspaper on the subject of personal financial planning. I was a personal financial planner with Investors Group, and in those days you didn't have to get head office approval for anything that went out in print. I did this for about a year. The articles were called Fun with Finance, and I never got any response whatsoever, even though this weekly newspaper was delivered free to everyone in the 60,000 population of Kannada. I gave up in the end because I just thought I was wasting my time. 2-3 months later, I ran into somebody who I hadn't met before, and they said, "Oh, are you the person that writes the articles in the newspaper?" And I had to admit that I was. And this happened quite a number of times. After everything was done, I was well known. Those people had been reading them, possibly taking advice from them. And this taught me a lesson. Reaching 100 is one of the reasons that we've decided to terminate the Worcester Reports. But another reason, I have to admit, is that we've had very little response to the programs. My bandwidth calculations would suggest that if one person had listened to each program, then that would have been the total amount of bandwidth, about 5 gigabytes, that we've used up over the 2 and a bit years. Or if 100 people had listened to one program, it would have come to the same thing. Recently, we've had 0 listeners to the last couple of programs. But I'm not discouraged, because I suspect that in a few months' time, somebody will come up to me and say, "Oh, are you the person that put out those broadcasts on radio from South Africa?" Because those podcasts are going to be up for a long time. And over time, it's amazing how many people visit your site on the internet. But in the short term, it's very disappointing how few people do. Today's show is going to be a little bit like our regular format. We're going to have an interview, and then we're going to have an edition of Ways to Grow in God. The interview is brand new. It's with Lorianne talking about her new colouring book, just published. But for the Ways to Grow in God, we're going to go back to program number 1 on February the 22nd, 2018. And I'm going to leave in some of the preamble, and I'm even going to leave in the item that followed her talk, which was a selection of 38 genres of music that I had used during music class at Masterpiece Academy. See if you can identify any of the 38 genres. Have a pencil and paper ready. So I'm going to leave you with it for these next 3 items, but I'll be back with some stuff that you don't want to miss, so stay tuned. Lorianne, we're both looking at Colouring with Jesus by Lorianne Coppell. Is this your first book?
It is. Isn't it great?
Yes. So it's your debut in the world of literature.
It is. Literature and art at the same time. But unfortunately, we'll tell you about the beginning. The launch that we were supposed to have later on.
Well, why don't we hear the story of how this book came to pass from the earliest rumblings in your mind, and just tell us the story, because I think it's exciting.
Well, the funny thing is, I've been writing a book about myself for some time called Holy Ghost Sommelier, but it's on hold. It's been on hold for some time now. I have the necessary stuff way in my Google Drive. But meanwhile, here in South Africa, we're working with children, and but I'm also an artist. So I was starting to fill in the color on one of my drawings. And my drawings are highly linear and almost stained glass-like. And at the time, I just had this nudge saying, don't color this in. I'm like, okay. And that was Holy Spirit. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? And I got, let the kids color them in. I went, oh, that's perfect, because there's a couple times where I had thought, my drawings look a little bit like coloring books. But I didn't really take it any further than that. So then I asked you to scan that drawing, and we tried it out on the farm children. In fact, we had two drawings, told them the story, and it was like a holy hush came over the kids. They were wild. They were some of them were surly. They just didn't want to do anything. But when it came to coloring my drawings, they were quiet for an hour. And I thought, we're on to something here.
Do you think they'd ever colored before? Was it totally new to them?
Oh, no. They love coloring other things as well. It's just that this was unique. This was a piece of prophetic drawing that they got to color in as well. And these drawings were created within the context of worship. And then I just kept doing more and more and more of them. And I would even start off in our classes in Masterpiece Academy with children. I would have children start off coloring my drawings. And we did the same thing with Legacy Relay. They absolutely loved to color them in. And then in the case of Masterpiece Academy, I even taught them how to do line drawings and turned their work into their own coloring books, which they were really excited about.
Now, coloring books have become quite a popular thing in the last, 10 years or so?
About 10 years.
Did you think that, this is something we can latch onto, or were you working entirely independently?
I was entirely independent. I was separate from that movement. I didn't really have a chance to get back to my drawing other than doing some sketches while on vacation. In fact, I'm working on one right now that we had a vacation in Maine, and I decided to draw a little bit, and the same with Arizona. And I'm only now getting back to those drawings. But here in South Africa, I've been drawing many of the children that we've been working with, or I've been having Jesus with the children, or prophetic impressions that I would get in worship that I would express in a coloring book image.
Ever since we met, which is about 22 years ago, I've known that you were an artist, and occasionally I saw you doing some drawing or painting or whatever, but it was occasional. Now you're turning out one piece of art a day. What happened? Where did this transition originate?
Well, when I was at Harvest School, I was encouraged to draw there. In fact, we gave Heidi Baker one of my first drawings that I did of one of the big one of those big trees in Mozambique was in the middle of the courtyard where we would get bread every morning. So I drew that and gave it to Heidi. And then when we came to South Africa, the Faris encouraged me to do my drawing as my ministry. I mean, other than going out and ministering in the townships, while some people were doing practical things like painting or carpentry, they just said, just draw. So actually, they had commissioned me to do one drawing of a landscape that included their flag world, and I incorporated it. And this was something special. And then when I came back to Canada, it continued. Now then, I was encouraged by Catch the Fire Ottawa, where they had opened up Friday night services to just worship. So they would worship for 3 hours, just worship. And that was a perfect opportunity for me to draw impressions. And then I just continued to go. Whenever I would go to this church, I would bring my sketchbook and I would draw and usually come up with something that was worthy. And I haven't stopped. If I go to a church that does any worship for more than 3 or 4 songs and they're really serious about worship, I will draw something. Or I will draw within the soaking prayer environment.
Now, another thing that I've noticed over the years is that when you get some inspiration and you want to picture something that is inspiring you, you'll get out the paper and the pencil and you'll start on it. And sometimes you can work quite fast, but you don't always finish it at that time. In fact, you seldom would finish it at that time. So you will end up with a lot of half-finished images in your sketchbooks. Was this intentional? Do you sort of wait until the muse catches up with you? Or how does it work that you actually end up finishing these drawings?
Well, sometimes it's a matter of time, because earlier we were doing so much ministry that I didn't have as much time to get back to the drawings. And in other times, I just had to have you model or one of the girls model their hands or their feet or their certain pose. And so I would be able to, I would see something in an impression, but I still needed a physical model to model that for me, particularly angels and angels' hands and stuff like that. So many of the drawings that I have, they're either, you know, part of the girls or Tony. In fact, one particular girl that we mentor, her name is Bella. She's in quite a few of my drawings.
So far we've talked about you getting an inspiration, starting or continuing or sometimes finishing one of your pieces, and then this idea of actually putting them all together and perhaps envisaging a book, something that other people would be able to buy, help towards our ministry costs and so on. Tell us more about how the actual book came about.
Well, that the first time I began to get like an inkling that these would be more than coloring sheets was the first time that I was teaching in Kinderkirk at Children's Church at Worcester Christian Church. And one of the other teachers, she said to me, "Have you considered putting scriptures in the bottom of your coloring sheets? And have you considered putting these in a book, like all together, and not just individual coloring sheets?" And I thought, this kind of makes sense. And as I was drawing more, particularly when we went back to Canada on our home visit, it came to me, yes, I should do more than just the coloring sheets. Because what we did was we took little USBs and we put many of my Ways to Grow in God talks, devotional talks, audio talks that I would have on the Worcester Reports, and pair them with, at that time, 21 coloring sheets. And these sold like hotcakes on our home visit. So I thought, we're onto something here. We should actually have an actual coloring book, as well as the coloring sheets. I will always sew freely into different children's ministries. And I mean, it's a law of sowing and reaping in the Bible. What you reap, you sow. And so I am intentionally sewing these coloring sheets all over the world, not just Canada and South Africa, but all over the world.
Now, for the uninitiated, when you say you were sewing, you mean giving away?
I was giving them away for free. And in the case of the coloring book, we're not giving that away. The coloring book is for sale. The coloring book is something that will bless people, but it's for sale.
How many images are there in this coloring book?
This first one is 51 images, and I have stories and scripture in both English and Afrikaans, for this particular version.
Now, I know that you learned Afrikaans once a week for quite a long time when we came to South Africa.
Yes.
But I don't think you're going to claim that you actually did the translation.
No, although when we first were serious about doing the coloring book as a project, actually it was before the home visit that that came to me, I was using my time of translating bits and then taking it to Janie and Andre for fine-tuning. And Janie kept saying, well, you're so ambitious. And I'm like, well, I'm not ambitious. I just need to have this done. So later on, when I got sick, it was we figured, okay, we'll just make them the translators.
You maybe need to introduce Janie.
Janie is a wonderful teacher, originally from Margate near Durban, and she married a very interesting and warm, friendly man named Andre. And they taught us Afrikaans for at least a year and a half. They're wonderful friends of ours. And so they helped us with the translation of, not the scripture, because I have an Afrikaans Bible, but of the actual stories. So this is a uniquely South African project, although I will be doing the same thing in Canada in a series.
So at this stage of the game, you've got this virtual book. You've got lots of drawings that exist on paper and scanned form. What did you then have to learn in order to turn this into something that could be published? What was the process?
Well, originally I used Microsoft Publisher, which is a desktop application, which is good for making magazines and newsletters. However, it's not adequate, so I needed help. So I asked our friend Phil Adewumi, who is a worship leader and YWAM leader, and he's teaching book design. In fact, he even published a book locally. So he took my designs and drawings and put them into this other program, which I still have to learn, and made it into a book rather than a newsletter. And then he also helped me with the cover, which is one of my filled-in drawings that I had originally drawn in Ottawa, but finished the coloring during an actual art festival here in Christian Art Festival here in Worcester. So that's rather amazing with the tie between Ottawa and Worcester. And it would just look so bright and lively that it was perfect to show what the coloring can look like. And this particular drawing is also available inside the book to be colored. So it was poignant having the same drawing, and we'll have to do the same thing for each book as they come out. So when I was working with Phil Adewumi in preparing the book, he guided me through the process, including finding an ISBN number to register the book with South African libraries, to having a barcode, to when I we would take the books to retailers and they would be able to program the price and stuff, to actually getting it printed. So there were a number of different options. One was making it mass produced and investing a lot of money, but being able to sell it at a very reasonable cost. However, that wasn't going to work with us going back to Canada. So we went to Print on Demand, a print shop that is in Perro Industria area of Cape Town, and they printed 200 copies for me, and they did an excellent job. It was black and white inside, except for one page, and then color on the outside, including with a picture of me. And when we went to pick it up, one of their reps, she was so excited about this book, and she said, can we sell this online? And we're like, of course. It didn't occur to us that we could do that. And so then we went in and had a cup of coffee with them and learned a bit about it. And there is a way to actually, in South Africa, go on to takealot.com and follow this link and order the book. And because the buyer would be in South Africa and print on demand is also in South Africa, any print on demand could print the book for them, whether it be one copy or 100 copies. So I wouldn't have to go and have this reprinted again and again and again. People could buy their own.
In fact, this is a whole new paradigm in the world of printing books, isn't it?
It is.
In the old days, you had a book printer, publisher, and so on, and you had to guess how many copies you might need for the first printing, and if it sold, you'd order more, and so on. Now, it literally is printing on demand. As people want to buy copies, then organizations like Print on Demand right here in Cape Town, and there are similar ones around the world, are able to print locally and send it out to the person who wants to buy it. What a wonderful concept.
Yes.
It must be way more efficient in terms of the costs and without wastage.
It is. Now, so in our case, we have a subscription with Takealot through print on demand of 250 rands a year. And then we would get 37% of whatever books would be sold and printed without us being there. So this would be residual income, which we were really excited about. Now, we had also tried to get onto the international bandwagon through Ingram Books, but unfortunately, they don't do A4 size landscape format. So that kind of doused our hopes for Canadians or Europeans buying the book as is. So when we go back to Canada, while I'm already kind of working on Coloring with Jesus 2, I'm going to do the North American version of Coloring with Jesus. And instead of it being English and Afrikaans, it would be English and French.
Now, this suggests that this first book and this particular edition with the bilingual English and Afrikaans won't be available outside South Africa.
No.
So it will become a collector's item.
It will.
That in years to come, wow, I've got a copy of Laurie Ann's first colouring book. And
yes,
you can't buy it anywhere outside South Africa.
That's right.
I like that.
But South Africa is the country that unlocked me as an artist. I already was an artist. I was beginning to do prophetic art in Canada. Like, I was unzipped. It was like I had all this potential there, and I was just starting to get at it in bits in Canada. But in South Africa, there's just so much. There's a creative vibe here that I picked up on, and it's so beautiful. And we fell in love with the children, and it's so easy to worship God in this country. It's so easy to talk about Jesus in this country. And one of the ways that I talk about Jesus is in my drawings.
What do you mean by it's so easy to worship God in this country?
The atmosphere, it's not an antichrist thing. It isn't like super politically correct. It's one where you are encouraged to be yourself. And if you have faith, you're encouraged to do that.
It sounds as if Jesus is cool here.
Very much so.
Let's look forward then to Coloring with Jesus 2, or whatever you're going to call it.
It's Coloring with Jesus 2.
It is. What has been done so far towards that, and what's your vision?
Well, I'm already on drawing 31 and 32 at the same time, and there was 51 in Coloring with Jesus, so I'm already halfway there. However, it's a lot more than just the drawing. It's the stories about the drawings and the whole process of translation and putting it together in graphic layout. So I'm actually looking for someone to translate into French. So when I do the Coloring with Jesus in English and French, it will be called Coloring with Jesus 1, Coloring with Jesus 2, you know, and so on. Whereas the South African version, it's just Coloring with Jesus.
Now, something else I'd like to ask you about is the fact that quite a number of the images are of real people. You didn't just get the ideas out of your head. You actually drew people who you knew. Some of them were children. And even I modeled for one or two of the things. So I'm in one of them.
You're at least one of them.
Yeah. This actually has quite an effect on the person who's in there. It's kind of like a little bit of immortality.
Yes.
What does that lead to? What kind of effects have you seen there?
Well, sometimes they're really blessed by it. And other times they're like, oh my goodness, they really absolutely love it. And then they end up buying it, although that wasn't intentional. Like in the case of one of the nurses at Cape Gate Oncology Center, she's amazing. And one time I was having chemo, and I was watching her, and I started drawing her. I was encouraged by the nurses to draw in the chemo room. And so I had an impression of Mariana with wings, angel wings. And then I had another impression of, like, she was ministering to this lady, and her hands were near the lady's chest. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. And then I had another impression that she was giving her a heart. So I put up like a paper heart, like a Valentine heart. And this particular drawing went viral in Cape Gate Oncology. Everyone absolutely loved it. Mariana absolutely loved it. And then I was doing more and more drawings like that. But this was the best one. And this was a highlight of this book. And Mariana, when she bought the book, she didn't pay the wholesale price. She wanted to pay me full price, 300 rands. And then another couple, who they will be in Coloring with Jesus too, they were worshiping in front of me with their daughter. And so I drew them. This was at Worcester Christian Church. And I turned that into a coloring book drawing. And she says, Lorianne, how much would it be for me to buy that drawing? And it had been a while before since I had sold anything like that here. And so I said, well, I would have to color it in first, but it would be 1,000 rands. It's 100 Canadian dollars. So she says, sold. Can you bring it to me next time we have cell group? Which ended up being the last time that we could actually have a church meeting before lockdown. Anyway, she was she and Nick fell in love with it. So it's usually if a drawing or a piece of art has a personal connection, that's when, I mean, people will make love a painting or a drawing, but they won't necessarily buy it unless it has a personal connection.
Now, a lockdown has actually got in the way of the progress of marketing this book.
Yes, it has. We were supposed to have a coloring book launch at Worcester Christian Church on the 22nd of March, but that was the day that we were limited to church gatherings of no more than 10 people. And then after that, there were no more church gatherings at all. So everything was put on hold. The coloring books were put in two places, Olive Tree Bookstore in Mountain Mill Shopping Center, and in La Rue and Ferie Vigneron's winery near Robertson. And we obviously sold to friends as well. Oh, and it's going to be available through the Legacy Relay Network as well. But people really couldn't do anything past lockdown. In fact, there is a link that you can buy the book through Takealot, and even that was disabled during lockdown because nobody would be allowed to do any printing during lockdown. So everything's on hold.
Let's hopefully and optimistically say that lockdown is relaxed to stage one in a month from now. I have no idea, but we'll just say that. And let's say that somebody would like to buy your book. Now, we have some copies here, some actual copies.
We do.
Yes. So they should get in touch with you very fast.
Yes.
And come and get them.
Yes.
But if they go or they're sold, what's the next stage? What should people do?
They would go to the Takealot site, which if you go on to our website, copplewesterncape.ca, you would see the art area, and then you would mouse over that, and the first line that would come up under the tabs would be coloring books. So you click on that, and that would tell you how and where to get a coloring book or the link for Takealot.
Actually, before they do that, they could also phone Olive Tree Christian bookstore in the mall.
Yes.
And they have, at the present time, about 30 copies.
30 copies.
So if they've still got some, that would be another place that you can get them. And remember what I said earlier about this is going to become a collector's item.
It will.
Yeah. Want to take you right back in the last couple of minutes here to the inspiration. What is it that you feel, looking back, that has actually caused this book to happen? Where's the main push come from? Is it your hard work, or is it something else in the spiritual realm?
The inspiration most of the time comes from Holy Spirit within the context of worship, but I also am inspired by the beauty around me, which is also created by God, and I'm inspired by the children that we work with.
In this book, most of the pieces have people in them.
Most of them, yes.
I sensed, because I've been privy to seeing some of the more recent work that you've done, it'll go into the next book, you've got some landscapes.
Yes.
And you've also brought out from your attic, as it were, half-finished drawings from years ago.
Yes, and have repurposed them.
Yeah, and they're seeing life suddenly. They're being resurrected.
Yes.
So that will be another area, landscapes and so on, in the next book. I'm sure there'll still be some people in the next book.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
And what's book number three going to be?
I don't know. We'll see.
Thank you, Lorianne. Thanks for this little chat. We're both here in lockdown, so we only have each other to talk to. So on this, our very last Worcester report, I'm honoured to be able to talk to my dear wife. And Lorianne's been writing a blog for some years now called Ways to Grow in God. And we do plan to make this a special regular program. But at this stage of Koppel's Western Cape Radio, let's give you a sample of one of the ways to grow in God. Here's Lorianne.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Slow down and let God's love fill you. My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During my travels, people often ask me how they can grow in their faith. I'm usually asked this in African countries where Christianity is a mile wide and an inch thick. But how they can sing and worship, it's amazing. Actually, I have met some amazing Mozambican pastors who have such an incredible hunger for God that they become spiritual giants. So one key to grow is to hunger for God and to seek Him. If you seek God, He will answer you. James 4 verse 8 reminds us to come near to God and He will come near to you. Then we're reminded to have full hearts as we seek Him. When we're planted in Him, we are called to grow roots like a healthy tree that lives by a stream. Then we can prosper. Psalm 1 verse 2 and 3 shares with us that we can flourish. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. This means that even if you have a dry season in your life, if you are rooted, you will continue to thrive. This means that we are called to go deep, so we can't be uprooted easily. So please continue to listen in on Ways to Grow in God shows, and we'll walk together on this journey. One thing that I found is that it takes time to grow in faith. When I first became a Christian, I was almost too excited. People who were much more mature in their faith would be surprised by my enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is good, but it was like I was a toddler running around in circles. Often church leaders and pastors advised me to be still and quoted Psalm 46 verse 10 to me, saying, "Be still and know that He is God." This is good advice. This taught me to wait on God when my natural desire is to jump in with both feet.
The first time that I was in Kenya, I learned a Kiswahili expression called pole pole. This means slowly, slowly. In fast-paced westernized society, it can be hard to slow down. It's hard to tune out the sounds of being constantly on the go. So we don't always hear God's still small voice speaking to you in your heart. One of my seminary professors was named David. He used to remind me that it's hard to hear God in an adrenaline rush. Think about that. And sometimes he would advise our class to not always play worship music in our devotional time, but to listen to the Holy Spirit in silence. This takes practice, but it's worth it. So why does it take time to grow in God? Well, think of it this way. When I was in Canada, I was a server crucifer in my Anglican church. I would lift up and carry a very tall cross back and forth at the beginning and the end of the church service. When I would bear this cross, I was acting as an image bearer. That image of the cross represents Jesus and the power of his sacrifice for us. If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, that image of the cross is also inside of you. You've been marked as Christ's own with the sign of the cross. In time, he conforms you to be more and more like him. The Apostle Paul reminds that all of us who have had the veil of unbelief removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. That comes from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. God loves us so much that he accepts us as we are, but then begins a process where we grow more like him. We have to actively pursue this, but it is worth it. We are part of God's family. Since we are a community and all grow together in faith, we can see glimpses of Jesus' love and character in some of the other people. It's not just that these people are nice, but they remind you of Jesus. I've seen this many times. One time, I could see Jesus' love through the eyes of my seminary professor, David. Another time, I heard Jesus' compassion through another professor. And the first time I met Mama Heidi Baker in person, she stood beside me. I was worshiping at the time, and it felt like Jesus was beside me. She was led to give me roses, a hug, and a kiss, and then she walked off. We in Iris call this stopping for the one. It means stopping for a divine appointment that the Holy Spirit brings you. In my case, I was the one who was stopped for. And there were many other amazing times. Some people tell me that they can see Jesus in me through my smile and laugh, which is amazing. I don't have straight teeth, so for many years, I wouldn't fully smile. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that people see Jesus in you. This takes time, since it means that God is growing good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in you. Your character becomes more full of these qualities. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some translations call self-control by the word temperance, and this is Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Spiritual growth is like growing fruit. We live in a fruit-growing area where table grapes and wine grapes are grown. We have many fruit stalls of delicious pears, peaches, plums, melons, and apples. But how do these fruits grow? Quickly, or do they take time? Here's a story that Nikki Gumbel tells in the Alpha Course. Nikki shares that he planted a pear tree in his backyard. He becomes impatient about seeing pears grow on this tree. He began to check the tree's growth so often that his friends teased him. Finally, a friend of his taped a Granny Smith apple to the pear tree. Nikki responded to this joke by saying to all his friends, "I may be stupid, but even I know that Granny Smith apples do not grow on pear trees." Nikki emphasized that it takes time to grow fruit, and it also takes time to grow faith. Also, here in South Africa, imagine if a farmer planted seeds and tried to see what was going on with the seed after he planted it. If you dig up the seed, you ruin its growth. So you just water it and let it grow. Be patient. I encourage you with this patience proverb from the church father, John Chrysostom. He says that to be patient is to have a wide and big soul. So why do we need to grow in God? We need to grow so we become familiar with God and be grounded in his truth. That way, we won't be deceived by lies. When we become mature, we become more discerning. We become more loving. We are more willing to bless others in ministry. We learn that it isn't all about us. Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 13 to 14. Learning from apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, we'll continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will become mature in the Lord. We will measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Now finally, we've decided to grow in God, and we've intentionally taken the time to spend with Him. Ready now? We grow through God's love. Earlier I mentioned being a deep-rooted tree by a stream. Now imagine that you are like a plant. Now you need good, nourishing soil to grow in. You can't grow in stodgy clay or hard rock. You wouldn't be able to breathe. When you have a heart of forgiveness, it's like you have a good, nourishing faith soil inside of you. When we become rooted in God's love, we've grown deeper into God like tree roots. We aren't dependent on the occasional rains of someone's kindness or human love, although this is always nice. We are fed by deep streams by God's Holy Spirit. We also grow wider in our reach towards others, like the plant or tree growing up towards the sun. God's love is like the sunshine that we need to grow even in hard times. His love is also the water that nourishes our hearts and more. I pray that as you hear the sound of my voice, that you will experience the love of God in your heart. May He be the water to your soul and the sunshine to your heart. St. Paul gives us a special prayer in Ephesians 3 that I will pray over you. Listen and be loved. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
You're listening to CWCP Radio, broadcasting from Worcester, Western Cape, South Africa, and I'm Tony Koppel. If you'd like to listen to Lorianne's talk again with a super musical background from Patrick Hawes, then go to koppelswesterncape.ca, click on Listen, and then WTGIG Podcasts. That's Ways to Grow in God Podcasts, and it's the first podcast. You'll enjoy it. One of the things that I've started doing recently is teaching children in a small Christian school called Masterpiece Academy. I'm teaching music and science. And for the first music lesson, I thought that I'd concentrate more on helping them to appreciate how wide music can be and how delightful it can be in so many different genres. So I selected 38 of the more common genres for Western ears. That's only a tiny segment of worldwide genres. And selected representative samples and played them about a minute of each one. For you listeners, I've broken that even into shorter segments of 6 seconds per genre, and see if you can name these 38 genres as we run through them. They're all a wonderful source of joy for me in my life.
Thank you. smile I give to you, and you give to me.
Somebody, let me tell you what he said. Go tell that long tongue liar.
Oh, well, well.
Go tell that.
I don't want no other love, baby. It's just you I'm thinking of.
King Kong, bigger than Cape Town. King Kong, harder than gold. King Kong, knock any ape down.
When the kids had killed a man, I had to break up the band.
Said she hadn't heard the news, hadn't had the time to choose.
Cobble streets of Bay St. Paul, the Tagger Lily Road, the narrow street.
I just couldn't resist including whale sounds and bird song at the end of that rapid-fire genre selection.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Yes, indeed. You're tuned to CWCP for its inaugural broadcast. So that's a miracle that you would be listening right now. We plan to broadcast periodically. Ideally, that'll be once a week. And we will show when the broadcast times are on our website, koppelswesterncape.ca. Lorianne, my wife, and I, Tony Koppel, have broadcast in our home city of Ottawa, Canada, for some years. But in November 2017, we've moved to Worcester, South Africa for 3 years, working in various ministries, and we are associated with Iris Western Cape, part of Iris Global. So we thought it would be fun to keep our radio hand in and to broadcast on our own internet radio system. There will always be a mixture of items on these shows, and why don't we get to the first one? We had originally planned to start the broadcast before Christmas 2017, but we didn't have suitable Wi-Fi at that time, and so we postponed it. However, I had made a recording at a Christmas carol service at Worcester United Church on the 6th of December, with a view to broadcasting. Why shouldn't we do it now? Let's go back to the heady days of Christmas here in Worcester and an open-air service at Worcester United Church. Not only was the music excellent to listen to, and you're going to hear a sample in a few seconds, but we also really appreciated the Christmas sermon from Pastor Mario Van Zyl. If you've just tuned in and you're not quite sure what's going on, that was an archive recording from our very first broadcast of Worcester Reports back in February 2018. But now, back to the present. One thing we have noticed about the children that we work with, and probably their parents, is how much they love sugar. In an average size of teacup, they will put 6 or 7 teaspoonfuls of sugar. And I can only assume that's the way their parents introduced them to tea or coffee, for that matter. And if I only put, say, 4 spoonfuls in, they can't drink it. They want another 3. This accounts for the terrible teeth, many children missing front teeth. In her very latest album, which is called Out of Dust, which I believe probably refers to where we all came from, Lila Bialy has a song called Sugar. I think it's appropriate to this situation. So I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to play another track from the album called Alpha Waves, which we think is sublime. If you like what you're hearing, then stay tuned, because we're going to play a lot more tracks off this album instead of our normal soaking prayer at the end of this final show of the Worcester Reports.
Sugar, because I'm all so tired of sugar, because I'm uninspired. Sugar, because it works so fast. Sugar so sweet, it's gonna help me last. Help me understand, sugar, so I can make it through. Sugar tastes sweeter when I'm missing you. Sugar, because I'm also sad. Sugar, because I feel so bad. Sugar, so I can just forget. Sugar, because my mind is sad. Sugar, because I'm lonely still. Sugar, cause there's a hole to fill. Sugar, because it don't cost much. Sugar so sweet, it's like a human touch. Because you disapprove, sugar's
so sweet is gonna help me grow. Sugar, because you're dumping me. Sugar, you know you set me free. Sugar, when I can feel the lag. Sugar, so sweeter when you don't look back.
Sipping your soda, eating your pie. No one to get in your way. Dipping the honey, now we're flying high. No better end to the day. Give me my chocolate, my fudge and my cake. Nobody's body but mine. No one can tell me it's all a mistake. It's out of the mouth of the fire.
Sugar, my friend. Sugar, my foe. Sugar, my fast. Sugar, my slow. Sugar, my high. Sugar, my low. Sugar, my stop. Sugar, my go. Sugar, my good. Sugar, my bad. Sugar, my joy. Sugar, my sad. Sugar, my anthem. Sugar, my play. Sugar, my friend. Sugar, my foe. Sugar, my fast. Sugar, my slow. Sugar, my high.
Sugar, my friend, sugar, my.
Alpha Waves from Lila Bialy's almost brand new album, Out of Dust. We always buy Lila's albums. We have all of them because we think she is so tremendous. So we've got here. We've got to almost the end of the final edition of the Worcester Reports on CWCP Radio. It's been more than a two-year journey for us, and we've enjoyed every minute bringing you ideas, interviews, study of our faith, and a variety of different music. We're going to go out with a band that's become rather dear to us during lockdown, the Kiffness, or to be more specific, Dave Scott. And this last song is a South African blessing. You'll recognize it. And this is not a funny song. This is deadly serious. So we bring you a South African blessing. Don't go away after that, because, as I promised, we're going to play some more tracks from Out of Dust. This is Tony Koppel, and Lorianne joins me in wishing you all a safe and ending lockdown, not too distant in the future. God bless you all.
May the world rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. Mighty songs came by. Sele amasilu enu, size sibonane futi, machot kafaso endi pa, fanse hand, and until we meet again.
But she will stay. in preparation for the king. And they line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing. They will be so surprised when they hear him say, take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, cannot move, you pour me along. You say you've come to give me rest, but harder days will put your words to the test. So I will sing this song. I will sing this song. You say you'll fight my enemies. The pain's so great it brings me to my knees. But I will soar on eagle's wings and greet each moment with the mercy.
on
Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.